الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. I have a few questions here. Just to repeat, as brother, by name again, Tabriz was, he just announced that there's a Q&A. So, subhanAllah, there's quite a few questions, I better hurry up. There's specifically, just exclusively for sisters at DM University Thursday, what is it, 26th? This was 26th, yeah? 26 after Maghrib, and I think you have to submit your questions beforehand, like at least 3-4 days in advance, so then the brother will inshallah deliver them to me and then I can have a look. And then you will be able to answer some questions there on the spot, but precedence and preference will be given to the questions that have been submitted. So that's at DM University. And remember, it's only exclusively question answers, because you don't normally get time. Right now there's so many questions. Each one, seriously, if I each question properly, I need 20 minutes for each question. Each question, and that's happened a few occasions. Like there was once I did a talk and there was a Q&A and I did two questions and time was over. So I don't know if I was able to do all of this, but so that's why we need exclusive, just Q&A, no talk. On that day, I'm not going to not even do 1 minute of like lecturing. It's just complete Q&A, nothing else. And we need like 2 hours on comments. And then it's only for sisters, because I think sisters have been asking that, you know, the brothers always get a chance to ask questions and this. So inshallah, we'll have one for the brothers as well, don't worry. But, you know, sisters probably feel neglected. So inshallah, anyway. Okay, let's quickly go through these cues, the question answers. There's a question here. A sister wanted to know whether temporary marriage is still allowed, as it still happens in somewhere. You see, you have to define what a temporary marriage is. We have one thing that is called nikah muwaqqat, something else called mut'a, and something called misyar. There's actually a lot of titles. But anyway, just to summarize this. If there's a marriage that takes place, or let's talk about a situation where the marriage is just the basic fundamentals, integrals, the conditions of marriage are not observed. Like you don't have the witnesses, or you don't have the ijab and qabul, you don't have the acceptance and the proposal and the offering, the offering and the acceptance, then the marriage is invalid, without a doubt. Okay, there are conditions of marriage, you have to have those conditions of marriage. Otherwise, why bother? Anyway, forget temporary, it's just no marriage, just go and sleep with someone. You know, I'm not saying go and sleep, yeah, I'm just saying. So, that's without a doubt part of the question. The second scenario which people want to ask is, you have a proper marriage, you fulfill the conditions of a valid nikah, right? You fulfill the conditions of a valid nikah and marriage. However, this marriage is on a temporary, short-term basis. So for example, there's a brother and sister, everything's there, the mahr is fixed, the ijab and qabul, the offer acceptance, the two witnesses. You might even have the sunnah, the khutbah of the imam and everything. But you say this marriage is for 1 year, 6 months, as long as we study at University of Leicester, we're married. I'm not giving you ideas, by the way. Is this marriage valid or not? According to the majority mainstream understanding of the Muslims, classically throughout the years, throughout history, since the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has not been allowed. And marriage is invalid as well. On a small period in the beginning, you know, there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed this for a short period of time. And then on Fath Makkah, the day on the conquest of Makkah, he forbade and cancelled this. And he said, from now on, this is no longer allowed and permissible. It was for a strategic reason that he allowed it and he forbade it. So, that's not allowed even when you have a proper marriage, because marriage is supposed to be based on a long-term relationship. It's not something that's temporary. It's not a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing. However, there is... I think I'll just leave the however. Okay. Allah knows best. I don't want to give you ideas of this, however. So, if somebody is really, really interested, you can contact me. I'll charge you. My parents are adamant in helping me find a wife, but what if I see someone I like? How do I go about it? I mean, this is such a common question. Talk to your parents. If you like someone, talk to your parents to at least consider her, and then go through the right channels, inshallah. Islam doesn't say if you like someone, it's haram to be married to them. It's permissible, as long as you go through the right way and the right channels. What was the other question I just saw? I feel that I have started on the wrong foot. What can I do to rectify this? Very easy. Tawbah, repent to Allah, sincerity. It takes 2 minutes. Nothing else, 2 minutes. It's better if you actually offer 2 rak'ats of Salatu Tawbah and 2 rak'ats prayer, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the past and make a firm resolution to not carry on with your actions and your behavior. And that's it, it's fine. أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who has repented from his or her sins is as though he has not committed sins. But you don't say, you know, carry on and then no. You make a firm resolution, tawbah and nasuha. That's called tawbah and nasuha. You have two things. You have tawbah and you have tawbah and nasuha. The thing required is tawbah and nasuha. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbah and nasuhatan. That's what's required. Sincere. And there are conditions for tawbah. There are conditions for being remorseful, regretful, being sincere. Firm resolution to not commit this again in the future. So if you do that, then inshallah, don't worry about it. Yeah? You're all sinful, everybody's sinful, human beings are sinful, everybody commits sins, inshallah Allah is forgiving, don't worry about it. Marriage to a non-Muslim woman, what Islam says? What does Islam say? Okay, yeah, we need to complete sentences as well. Marriage to non-Muslim, I've got a whole article. I don't know if some of you know, but some of you may know, some of you may not know. Maybe you can advertise it later. I have a website as well, the Dar al-Ifta website, darulifta.com. It's a question answers website, darulifta.com. It's been running for the past few years. It's just questions and answers. Well, there's a few other things, there's lectures and stuff as well, but mainly question and answers. So, a lot of these questions will be answered. I have long articles. Like this one, I've got a really long answer. In light of the Quran, in light of the Hadith, in light of the books. So, you know, the answer to this question is that Muslim, non-Muslim marriages, intermarriages, according to Islam, is not allowed. Okay? There's only one exception, which is also an exception, but not something that's encouraged, is a Muslim man marrying a Christian or a Jewish woman. That's the only exception. Any other way, Muslim man marrying a Hindu woman, Hindu man marrying a Muslim woman, whatever, all of this is not allowed. You don't have the mouse? Just make it large. So, okay, is there a dua we can read to find a compatible partner and get proposals? There's quite a few duas. No, it's a good question. Yeah, look, let me just Have you seen this website? This is the website. Darul Ifta. These are the latest 10 answers. Look, I'll tell you something. Can you read this one here? This one here? What does it say? This one here. Human jinn intermarriage. It actually wrote an answer. These are the latest 10. If you go in the marriage section, I'll tell you, it'll take you a year to read these. Avoiding marriage between two Eids. Human jinn intermarriages. Inform the first wife of the second marriage. Does the Hanafi school... Where is this? This mouse is a bit... Mouse is a mouse. Is it wrong to learn about matters that are of a sexual nature? List of questions that can be asked of a potential spouse. I made these 50 odd questions. Read them. There's 10 on each page. Look, I'll tell you this one. I'll tell you how big each question is and... Most of it. What is nikah misyar and is this kind of marriage permitted according to Sharia? Okay? This is how long the... More or less most of the question answers are this long. See how long there is? Most of them are this long. Most of them. It takes a lot of time. I answer about 60 emails a week, regularly, on questions. So, anyway. Anyway, you carry on. So, I've got a very detailed answer on this topic, so you can read, inshallah. Let me just quickly go through this. What's the mas'ala regarding slave girls and how was it with regards to the Prophet? It's a lengthy topic, you need to read a book on that, because I don't want to answer this question and then there are confusions in your mind, so best not to... Sometimes it's better not to answer than answer briefly. Because there's more damage and harm than benefit. What is the saying of this? Haqq maha, dowry, okay. How much is the Sharia? You have a minimum amount of dowry, which is certain amounts of grams. It's very, very basic. And you have the sunnah, which is the mahr al-fatima, radiallahu anha, which is approximately at the moment 500-600 pounds. But you have exactly certain amount of silver grams, something like... I've forgotten exactly how much it is, but if you ask me, I can tell you some time before, inshallah. Is there a maximum limit of time for being away from your wife? I haven't seen my wife for 6 months. Now, is that authorized? Of course, these are things that you should mutually discuss, etc. But normally, you know, normally without a need, maximum should be 4 months, and other than that, you'll be sinful. But I think even in this day and age, even that much amount, whether it's a husband or the wife, you should definitely try to discuss this and you should be mutually agreed. A brother said that a person that has true iman, tasted the true feeling of belief, cannot apostate, leave Islam. What is the position of Islam in this? Maybe true, Allah knows best. You know, if somebody is truly believing, then probably he will not become an apostate, Allah knows best. You said not to marry someone who is jealous, but wasn't Aisha radiallahu anha known for her jealousy of the other Prophet? So this is a good question. Okay. So lengthy topic. You see, you have certain things. You have jealousy, which is called hasad. You have ghibba, that is called being envious. And there are different levels of jealousy. A small amount of, you know... Envy, being envious, is found in every human being. It's impossible to remove that small element of it. It's impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. You know, the thing is that, you know, all these character traits, these blameworthy character traits, we have been created with them. We have been created. Allah created anger in us. Despite telling us, لا تغضب, the Messenger of Allah saying, لا تغضب, don't be angry. But He created it. Allah created jealousy in our hearts. But He said, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Control this jealousy. Which means that it's impossible, it's absolutely impossible to remove and eliminate and remove and detach this bad quality from yourself altogether. That's not going to happen. But you control it. You work on it in such an extent that you trample over it and you overpower it. You do not allow this bad quality or trait to overpower you. Rather, you overpower yourself over this bad quality and trait. That's what's required. So a bit of jealousy is there. Now, the envy that she had did not result in her violating the rights of people. That slight bit of envy she had did not result in her harming people. And between co-wives, if you don't have envy, a bit of envy, then I mean, it's absolutely natural. Like when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once he once gave an ultimatum to all his wives. He said, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajik in kuntunna turidna al-hayat ad-dunya wa zinataha fata'alayna umatti'kunna wa usarrihkunna sarahan jamila." وَإِنْ كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. The meaning is that he said, he gave an ultimatum from Allah to tell all his wives that, look, you know, if you want this world and the glitter and the wealth and the beauty of this world and the wealth and the treasures of this world, then you can go and have it. Allah will give it to you, but you don't stay in a marriage. However, if you want Allah and His Messenger, you want to give preference to the Akhirah over the dunya, you have to live a life of hardship. All the wives lived a life of difficulty, hardship, and a life of test. That's marriage. It's a test. Don't even complain to your husband or your wife that this is difficult and that's difficult, and look at them, and look at my friend, and she's got this, and look at me. That's not someone who's got a sound heart. That's not somebody who's worked on their heart. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Whatever Allah gives you, happy, content. You try your best. And whatever Allah gives you, shukr, gratitude. And whatever Allah doesn't give you, sabr. This world is temporary. It's just 50, 60 years, brothers and sisters. I have to go, you have to go, we all have to go. It's just like in a blink of an eye, seriously. The blink of an eye. Before you know it, you're going to be 80. That's if you live that long. People, I just heard today somebody passed away at 49. The other day somebody passed away at 37. People pass away in 30s, 40s, 50s. This world is so short and temporary in comparison to the eternal life in the next world. Eternal life, not 600 million years. Eternal life. And you know, one day after about 600 million years in the next life, you'll think about this world and you'll think it's like a moment. That's what in the Quran Allah says, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. When you go into the next life, you think about the dunya. Oh yeah, there was a place a long time ago. Do you remember? You'll meet each other. I'll probably see you inshallah in Jannah. I'll say to you, remember? Long time ago. I vaguely remember there was a place called dunya that I went into. I remember, yeah, there's a place called Leicester in there. I used to live in there. And you know, you'll say, yeah, I remember I was born and I got married and had children and then I died. That's how, seriously, imagine after 600 million years, one day you think about 60 years. The 60 years is not even a drop in an ocean. So think like that. Forgive and forget. If someone says something in from this year and out from the other, or like one of the brothers said, in from this and out from the same year. That's the best. Don't let anything, you know, affect you. Do not keep your hopes on the creation of Allah. Cut off all your hopes. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. He used to always supplicate. He said, Allahumma, I forgot the Arabic wording of the dua. The second part is, waqta rajai amman siwak. Oh Allah, please make me in such a situation that I have all my hopes on you and I cut off all my hopes towards the creation of Allah. And that's the greatest ingredient to be happy. You know, if you want to be happy, who wants to be happy? You want to be happy? I want to be happy. You want to be happy in this world? Who wants to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy. I say the greatest ingredient, and you work on this seriously, brothers and sisters. If you work on this, I'm telling you, you will be happy. Never expect anything from anyone. Never. Neither from your brother or your husband, or your sister, or your wife, or your child, or your son, or your teacher, or your friend, or anyone. Do not expect anything from anyone. If someone is good to you, it's a bonus. Think, wow, I wasn't expecting this. This is, alhamdulillah, great, it's a bonus. You know, they're talking about a lot of the bank bonuses right now. All these bankers. But anyway, think it's a bonus. Think it's a bonus. I wasn't expecting it anyway. And so if someone doesn't give you what you want, you know, someone is not good to you, then you will not be disappointed. Because you weren't expecting it anyway. So you will never be sad and sorrow, in a state of sorrow, and you will never be, you'll never be sad. Because you're just easy going, you don't expect anything from anyone. That's the best ingredient. So keep this in mind. So this was about the Messenger, and then I just mentioned this. Aisha radiallahu anha, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went first to his beloved wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, and said, look, you know, Allah has revealed this verse. I give you an ultimatum, an option, a choice. Do you want me, Allah and His Messenger, or do you want the Akhirah? And the Akhirah, or do you want the dunya? I said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, how can I, afika akhtar Ya Rasulullah? You know, is this a question to ask? Do I need to even choose? Of course, there's no possibility of me preferring anything besides you and Allah and His Messenger and Akhirah. So she chose to say the marriage. But she said, Ya Rasulullah, well, one request. My answer, please don't go and tell any of the other wives. If they ask you what Aisha said, don't tell them. Yeah, because you know what? She wanted them to get the wrong answer, so he leaves all of them. Yeah, so she has him to her own self. Completely natural. And by the way, on a side note, this is wives, etc., polygamy, that's another topic for another time. So I don't want to deal with it. I mean, we've discussed it, it's just come as incidentally. But it's not something that I can talk about now because it needs a lot of explanation. Because some people might think, what about this polygamy whole issue? And maybe we can have a 2-hour lecture on that. There's a lot of aspects to it. Somebody asked a question. Al-farqu bayna al-ghayrati wal... I can't read the second part of the Arabic. Al-farqu bayna al-ghayra wa al-hasad. Okay. But somebody asked the difference. Actually, a very good question. Ghayra means I'm looking for the word. You know, like a husband, for example, he does not, he wants, of course, without a doubt, his wife to flirt with another man. You have this ghayra. What's that in English? Sorry? Yeah, not possessiveness. I don't like the word. Islam doesn't say to us to be possessive. That's wrong. Neither the woman as well. Wives, women don't be over-possessive over your husbands. Some women have a big problem of being over-possessive about their husbands. And likewise, some husbands about it. They want to know everything about their wives. You cross the road, you have to ask me. SubhanAllah, it's going to ruin your marriage. It should be based on mutual understanding and, you know, trust. You trust your wife, alhamdulillah. First of all, choose someone who's got taqwa, then you don't have to be over-possessive. Okay, anyway, ghayra? Sorry? Self-respect, no. Okay, we'll find the dictionary next time and we'll translate it. But the difference here is, look, jealousy is not permissible. Sometimes, this is not jealousy, but this is ghayra, that, you know, you are concerned about your husband, you are concerned about your wife, you are concerned, this is ghayra. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the largest portion of ghayra. Wallahu aghyar, and Allah has the greatest portion of this attribute and this quality. So there is a difference between the two, of course. So jealousy is haram, ghayra is good. It's a good quality, something you should have. A man who doesn't have ghayra, or a woman, you know, it's a bad quality not to have it. So ghayra is good. Let me just quickly. This is about something about parents, and I talked about this before as well. I mean, this parent-children conflict, maybe some other time, inshallah. Could you recommend ways in which sisters seeking a spouse can do this during these times where people were connected, networking, planning of brothers? It appears that the only way available are through social gatherings and universities. No, of course, no, seriously, brothers and sisters, it's actually very important. This is actually a big problem, because I know after talking to a lot of people, it's, I think we are in a stage right now where it's very difficult, it's become very difficult for people to get married, for numerous reasons. Number one, after hearing my talk, you probably become more fussy, but people are too fussy. Okay, that's one problem. Extra fussy, especially brothers. Brothers, look in the mirror first. Look at your own self. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about look at your own self and then put all the conditions. Seriously. As I said, remember what I said in the talk, who you are, you will get. You know, you think all these conditions and we don't look at our own selves, but like our sisters as well. So don't be over fussy. And there are many other reasons, but there is a genuine problem, seriously, of people finding the right spouse and the right... It's just really difficult. There are people, there are especially with sisters, it's more difficult with sisters. And that's because of this, two reasons for that. Two reasons. One is what I just said, because, you know, brothers are, you know, more fussy and they think that they've got a lot of options, you know. It's like, okay, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. But I tell you, you know, brothers, if you start being too fussy, you know, sometimes, you know, I know cases where a brother was too fussy and then ended up in a situation where he could not just find anyone. And he had to just settle with what he said, according to him, his words, second best. Okay? So, brothers have this arrogance sometimes. And also another reason is there's more women in the world than men. That's without a doubt. You know that. It's proven with statistics. So that's another reason as well. There's more sisters. So unfortunately, it's becoming very difficult for sisters to get married. I mean, there are sisters who are actually in their 30s and 40s. I know a sister who's 40, 41. She's never been married. And she's been looking for the past 15 years. And she does not have a suitable proposal ever, and nothing works out. The sisters are in their 40s are not being able to marry. So I think the greatest need of the time is some people to get together and work and help. I'm telling you, Wallahu fi auni abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. Verily Allah is in the help of his servant as long as the servant is in help of his fellow brother or sister. We need good Muslims. We need good, wise, understanding Muslim brothers and sisters, maybe, you know, set an organization that runs according to the rules of Islam, right? The most important thing, where you help people, and inshallah, I'm telling you, if you do this, it'll be one of the greatest things that you can do. Because people want to get married. And it's a great sunnah. If you help them achieve this great sunnah act of ibadah in a way that they are able to save themselves from sins and from unlawful activities and complete half their faith, halfway to heaven. You know, there's a hadith. مَنْ تَزَوَّجَ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِسْفُ إِيمَانِهِ Whoever marries, half the faith is completed. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّسْفُ الْبَاقِي So really, there needs to be something done. I know we have in our communities always, you know, we have the old aunties and you know, every city has that old auntie. Who knows everyone, you know, she'll match everybody up. Before you even ask her, she's matched you up with someone. But, there's, you know, you need to really work at this. And so, there's the question I was saying, that there's nowhere else to, you know, potential brothers, it's difficult to find. Only through social gatherings and universities. I mean, unfortunately, that's not the right way. You know, I mean, social gathering, if it's done in a rightful way, without breaking the rules of Islam, you know, if you really think someone and you get people involved and it's through the third party in the middle and there's no unlawful activities taking place, then fine. But just be careful and ask someone if you're not sure. How do you know? I'm going to now haste because a lot of time's gone. How do you know if. Is there time we have to finish by next? How many minutes? Tell me exactly how many minutes. 12 o'clock midnight? Sorry? Tomorrow morning, okay. Before your sleeping bags? How do you know if a guy has taqwa in a marriage, in an arranged marriage? Okay. Good question. I'm just going to haste now because I'm tired as well. How do you know about taqwa? Not just taqwa, but anything, how do you know? You understand this question? You're looking a brother here is looking for a sister who's maybe the brother likes his food, so he's looking for a sister who's a good cook. Some brothers always, that's the first criteria. Food, come on. That should not be at the top of your list. Live, you know, eat to live, don't live to eat. The difference between the two. Anyway, so not just taqwa, but about anything. You need to know about the sisters, or the sisters need to know about the brothers. How do you know in an arranged marriage? It's not just restricted to taqwa. It's not just taqwa. Some people, they will tell you the way to know this is go out with the brother, go out with the sister, have a relationship. Check her out, test her. Test him for a year. Test drive. You know, there was Ahmed Didar, he's got a YouTube clip, really beautiful. He was answering this question about why women have to wear hijab. As a non-Muslim asked, it's beautiful. I love the way he answered. And he was talking about, you know, how in the West, women are, and the bodies of women are exploited, and how they sell cars and everything. And he said, look, in South Africa, there was a picture, they had a big billboard, and on that, there was a car, BMW, and nobody was buying that, everybody was buying golfs. They wanted to sell this car, so they had a car there, and they had a naked woman on top, and underneath the car, it said, test drive her now. Which means the car or the woman, you know, but it's just to sell the car they are using a woman's naked body. Anyway, he explained it in a really nice way where the person was, the non-Muslim had shameful, couldn't you know, say anything, because they were objecting about Islam being oppressive, that women have to wear hijab. So, as I was saying, anything, how can you know anything? So some people will say to you, have a 1 year, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months relationship. Do you think that's going to give you the knowledge that she has taqwa? Or he has taqwa? Impossible. I'm telling you, it will never give you the info. Even if you go out for 1 year with a brother, I'm telling you, a sister, if there's a sister out there thinking that, let me be with him, see how, and then I'll decide. Okay? You know what, this brother for 1 year is going to just be artificial. He's going to be totally artificial towards you. He's not his real person. It's all going to be play acting. He's going to act to be good. I'm telling you. Number one, you're not living with him. You're not living. When you live with someone, the going gets tough. That's when the true reality and the color of the person comes out. Until you don't live with someone, you don't know. Everybody looks very good. Everybody sounds good. Everybody looks good. Everybody, oh, he looks very decent. Don't be deceived by the way someone is outside, you know, really good and polite. Never be deceived, seriously. People are different at home and they're different outside. All artificial. You'll be going out with a brother and go to the restaurant, and I've given this example so many times, but it's going to be all artificial treatment towards you, behavior. You know, it'll be raining, like I said, in Greenwich University, it'll be raining, and you take his coat off, and says, sister, here's the coat, and you go to the restaurant, and you move the chair, and you go to the door, and open the door for you. After you move in with him, and you get married, watch, after 6 months, is he going to do that? He won't do that. And I tell you, 90% of men, they've probably done that, and nobody does it now. Why? People change afterwards. It's not that they change. People were changed before. They don't change afterwards. They were changed before. Now they've gone back to basics, the reality. So even 1 year you go out to someone, it's not going to give you any benefit or anything. Impossible. Impossible. Taqwa as well, there's no way to find out. What's the solution? So whether it's an arranged marriage, remember, that's why arranged marriages is not evil. Whether it's an arranged marriage, remember one thing is not allowed in Islam, which is forced marriage. I've talked about this extensively. It is absolutely haram, sinful, unlawful in Islam to force someone, whether a daughter or a son, to marry, which has no basis whatsoever in Islam. Every book of hadith you pick, there's a word called la ijbar. La tujbar, la ijbar. There is no compulsion, there is no force whatsoever. A man and a woman, a boy and a girl, a brother and a sister, male, female, has absolute freedom and choice to marry whom he or she wants to. So, there's no compulsion. But arranged helping, you know, you're helping someone. But they said, you know, set up an organization, you're happy. You have to arrange anything you want to do. You have to arrange food to eat. You want to get married, you have to arrange. You're not just going to see someone in the middle of the road, okay, sister comes, okay, let's sit down, get married right now. It has to be arranged. So what's the big deal? Why create a big fuss about arranged marriages? Forced marriages are lawful. Don't confuse forced and arranged marriages. Arranged is fine. So as I said, the only way you'll find out is doing your investigation, your research. That's the only way. Finding out from third party. Finding out from their friends. If a sister wants to marry a brother, find out from the people close to him that, you know, when the going gets tough, how is he? When he takes a £10 loan from someone and said, you know what, I'll pay you next week, does he give you a week before, a day before, or exact on time, or 10 days later, or a year after, where he doesn't pay you back at all? If he is even 1 minute late, don't get married to him. Seriously. Because he doesn't care about rights of other people. His money. Is he, when he talks with his friends, is he foul mouth? Is he la'an? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith says he was never foul mouth. He was never, laysa fahishan wala mutafahisha, laysa bifaddin wala ghalid al-qalb. He was not aggressive, he was not foul mouth, he was not cruel, he was not grumpy. Inside, outside. So this is all you have to do, your research, your investigation. Going out with a brother or a sister will never inform you of anything. Allah knows best. Is it permissible to write the marriage contract and delay both the marriage and the wedding till the conditions are better? Marriage contracts are permissible, but there's a lot of fiqh behind it. And if you want to know the details, you can. I've got something on the website as well. Marriage contract, a really long article as well. But if you need, you can contact me, inshallah. There are conditions and rules, etc. Marriage, financially. The sister thing, if someone is ready to marry you and says, wait until I am financially able to support you, it's okay, let him, you know, if he thinks that he's not financially able to support you, a sister, and give him a bit of time. But if he's going to tell you that I need to be in a position to financially support you until the next 10 years, so tell him to tell you in advance, how long will it take you to get into that position? If he says it within a year or so, you don't want to just wait all your life, you know, just waiting to him to get to a stage where he's going to be able to financially support you. So, okay. How do you remove pride from the heart? It's a lengthy topic. You can do a whole topic on pride. There's a lot of things, there are a lot of remedies of pride. Think about your defects, think about your sins, think about your initial creation. Think about what you were right in the beginning. You know what you were, what I was? What we were? What were we? Right at the beginning. أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِيٍّ يُمْنَى Allah said you were a drop of sperm. أولك نطفة وآخرك كجيفة وأنت تحمل فيما بينه القذرة. The beginning of the human being is a drop of sperm, and the dead body, flesh. If you leave it on the ground, animals will come and eat. In the middle, you live a life in which 24/7 in your stomach you carry impurity. That's the reality of the human. Think about your own defects. Always, every day, think and ponder. This is how I am. This is the bad things in me. This is. You know, that will inshallah remove it. I don't understand this question, so I think I'll leave it. I can't read it. Sorry. Who was the jinn? I think just read this. Jinn, just read that. Jinn is another creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sometimes like to translate it as ghost. The plural of jinn, it's an Arabic term. We have a surah, Suratul Jinn. And the plural of jinn in Arabic is Al-Jan. Wal-Jan khalaqna in the Quran. Sorry? Okay. If you have started on the wrong foot and are about to get married, do you think it will not be blessed? I told you, I answered this before. If you have, repent straight away, don't worry, and then inshallah move on. Is marriage compulsory? Do I have to get married? I've actually got a very detailed answer. There are five stages. Sometimes it's further to get married, it depends on the situation. Sometimes it's obligatory, sometimes it's wajib necessary, sometimes it's sunnah, and for some people it's makruh, and for some people it's haram to marry. Now there are different levels. If you fear that you will commit a sinful act, you'll get involved in unlawful, illicit sexual relationship, then it becomes obligatory to marry. Can I marry a jinn? Read that. Somebody really asked, can I marry a jinn? I think someone's just messing around. Can you say something about marriage contracts in Islam? As I said, marriage contracts, inshallah, you know, you could read on it. It's a very lengthy topic. If your partner, a family member, did something wrong, is your duty to forgive them, or do you tell them what they did was wrong? Would it be arrogant to correct them? They may get upset at being corrected. You have to use a lot of tact, a lot of hikmah, a lot of maslaha, a lot of wisdom. If you are able to correct them, the hadith says, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَعْدَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Which means that if you are able to correct, able means that you think about the consequences. You think about the consequences. If you are in a position to correct a wrong with your hand, then do so. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you cannot, if you are not able or capable, you don't have the ability, you do not have the capability and the power and the might to change that with your hand, then change it with your mouth, verbally state. And if you do not even have the ability, capability and the power to change that with your mouth, which doesn't mean you are dumb. What does that mean? That if you think that if I say something, they'll become extremely upset, they'll break ties, it's just going to cause a massive conflict, this is not the time to say it, maybe another time, then don't change it with your mouth. Change it with your, then with your heart. Think that to be an evil from your heart. Just think of the action to be bad. Not the person, we don't hate people, the action to be bad from the heart. And this is the lowest level of iman. And then find a good time in a nice, gentle way. Remember, correcting a wrong, if it's done in the right way, with the right intention. Number one, right intention. For the sake of Allah, not to impress anyone, not to get your own back at them, right intention. For the sake of Allah, in the right manner, if it's done with the right intention, in the right manner, use a lot of hikmah, wisdom, tact, then you'll never go wrong. And last question, please, can you give the reference of the three verses of taqwa on the nikah? Okay, this is good. Nice question to end the session. The three verses of taqwa, the first one is in Surah An-Nisa, the first opening verse of Surah An-Nisa. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها until the end وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Okay. Number two, Surah Al-Imran. Verse number, I don't know my numbers, sorry. I'll tell you the number. Surah Al-Imran. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. So the first one I said, which one? Verse number one of Surah An-Nisa. And then we have Surah Al-Imran. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Verse 102 of Surah Al-Imran. Surah Al-Imran is the third chapter. The third chapter of the Quran. Third chapter meaning the third surah. Not the juz, but the third chapter of the Quran. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And the last one is Surah Al-Ahzab. I'll tell you the verse number. Surah Al-Ahzab. There you go. يا أيها الذين آمنوا تقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Verse number 70 and 71 Al-Ahzab, which is Surah 33 in the Quran. Verse number 70 and 71, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. Hope you learned and benefited. Inshallah, make dua for everyone. Inshallah, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.